Good morning, my friends. This is Missionary James Robinette with Mission Africa. And by the wondrous grace of God, it is my blessing and joy to worship Him in the teaching and preaching ministry of His Word this Lord's Day. It is my blessing also to meet with you, friend, in fellowship in the Word of God. You can learn more about our ministry at www.missionafricajk.home.blog. That's www.missionafricajk.home.blog. Our text today is found in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, which in the New King James Version of the Holy Bible reads, "Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving." Let us pray. Father in heaven, glorious praise and blessing, love and honor, respect and worship to your great name, the name of the true and living only God, the holy God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your precious word, and we pray that as we receive the teaching today, as we receive your very words, that you will change us, that we will become more thankful. Yes, indeed, even very thankful Christians because of your marvelous power and grace. Thank you for your goodness to us, Lord. You have shown us your kindness and love and mercy and grace in absolutely uncountable ways, day after day after day. Great and worthy are you, Lord. We worship you and love you and thank you for your faithfulness and grace given to us in Jesus. It's in His name we pray. Amen and amen. Friends, today I am recording in America, and the holiday of Thanksgiving is just around the corner here. In our American version of Thanksgiving, families usually have quite a feast, a huge meal, a spread is made, and the family gathers and enjoys the festive company, sometimes also with friends, and the large Thanksgiving meal. Originally, American Thanksgiving Day was meant to remember and thank the Lord of all glory, the God of all creation, for His mercies that the early American settlers had experienced on their voyage over to the new land from Europe, and also to thank God for His mercies in their settling into the new land. History shows us that early on, the American settlers shared Thanksgiving with the indigenous natives, the American Indians. I have always enjoyed the holiday of Thanksgiving, and now that I'm back in America, this year will prove to be a special treat, I think. Colossians 4, verse 2 is Paul's instruction that the Colossian Christians were to be earnest in prayer, to continue, to keep at praying, to not stop praying. And in this, they were to be vigilant. That is a word which means they were to be watchful. Like an askari on duty, a guard on duty, they were not to be sleepy or sluggish, but they were to be alert in continuing prayer. And as they prayed in vigilance, they were also to pray with thanksgiving. The word thanksgiving there is the Greek word eucharisti. It is similar to and derived from the Greek word for the Eucharist, or what many of us would call the Lord's Supper. And the word Eucharist simply means thankfulness. So in the Lord's Supper, this Thanksgiving meal, biblically defined as it is in the use of the word Eucharist, is a meal, a celebration of the broken body and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, in which thanks is given to God as a form of worship. That definition helps us, I believe, to understand thankfulness to God better. thankfulness is indeed an act of worship. In our thankfulness, we are giving praise to God. We are recognizing His bounteous grace and the abundance of mercies, the goodness and love, kindness that He has shown us in Christ Jesus and our great salvation. Thankfulness characterizes the Apostle Paul. And today we're going to look at verses in which Paul deals with thanksgiving and thankfulness, the giving of thanks. Thankfulness, according to Paul, also characterizes true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 1, verse 21, Paul contrasts the ungodly, the godless ones, unbelievers, who are not thankful for God's mercies. And in this contrast, we see that believers are characterized by thankfulness to God for His many mercies. Our first point today is that Paul, in his writings, often thanks God for other Christians. We find that in Romans chapter 1, verse 8, where Paul thanks God for the Christians in Rome. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, Paul writes that he thanks God for the Corinthians' reception of the grace of God that the Apostle Paul was blessed to bring to them. Paul brought the Corinthians the gospel. He thanks God that they received God's grace in the gospel from him in his ministry. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 18, we see an interesting thanksgiving that Paul makes. He thanks God there that he speaks in tongues more than the Corinthians. Some of the Corinthian believers were prideful in that they had received from God the gift of speaking in tongues, and they paraded this gift. Paul reminds them that it is a gift that they simply received, that they are nothing in themselves but recipients of the gift of speaking in tongues, so that they should not boast in that, be proud in that. Another interesting point of thanksgiving that Paul makes is found in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 14. There he says that he is thankful that he baptized few of the Corinthians. Once again here, he touches upon a problem in the Corinthian church. They were proud of their being baptized by certain people, as though they could take pride that a great man had baptized them. Paul says he is thankful that he did not baptize many of them. He only baptized a few of them. In Philippians 1, verse 3, Paul writes amazingly, he is thankful at every remembrance of them. The Christians in Philippi were such a blessing to him that whenever he thought of them, he rendered thanksgiving to God. Paul was blessed and gave thanks to God for the blessing of seeing people come to true saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ in these different places. In 2 Thessalonians 1:3, he speaks of his thankfulness for the Thessalonian Christians. He was always thankful for them. He says it is fitting that he is, because their faith grew exceedingly and their love abounded toward each other. He must have found it rather easy to be thankful for the Thessalonians. It was proper that he was thankful for them because their true faith, a faith that grew exceedingly and an abounding love, characterized them. In 1 Thessalonians 2:13, he says he thanks God unceasingly because they, the Thessalonians, received the words of Paul and his friends not as the mere words of men, but as in truth the words of the great and living God, and that God's preached word worked effectively in those who believed in Thessalonica. Unceasing thanks, always thankful, thankful at every remembrance, Paul writes. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul writes that he is thankful for believers in Philemon's house, and that he always mentioned them in prayer. That's an interesting word. Mention in Greek means to recollect, to bring to remembrance, as in a recital. A recital is remembering in such a way as to recite or to repeat. This probably gives us a good look into Paul's prayer life, in that Paul had ministered in many areas, and Paul probably kept a record of prayers that he recited. That is, he remembered them and would repeat prayer for the Christians in these various places. That can be of great help to us too. That is not committing a sin of being proudly over-repetitive in prayer, thinking God will hear us simply because we say many words, as Jesus condemns, but to recite our prayers is indeed to make mention of believers, as Paul indicates here. In Romans chapter 6, verse 3, Paul writes that he is thankful for two believers, his good friends Priscilla and Aquila, fellow tent makers who risked their own necks for Paul. We see in these citations that when Paul thought of these individuals and thought of members of these churches, he begins to thank God for these godly people. That's a great pattern for us, because we are to continue in prayer and thanksgiving. It is wonderful. It is a blessed part of prayer to be thankful often, repeatedly, for others. In Acts chapter 28, verse 15, Paul says he is thankful for fellow believers who encouraged him at Appia Forum and Three Inns during his time of incarceration. He was being taken from Jerusalem to Rome to stand trial before the emperor, and he must have been greatly encouraged when fellow believers came to meet him on his journey at these Roman locations. In Ephesians 1:16, Paul says he gives unceasing thanks for the Ephesian Christians. Again, wonderfully, he must have thought of them daily, or often, perhaps many times during the day, as he would pray, as he thought about those God led him to serve, as he thought about their welfare, their condition, and gave unceasing thanks to God, praise God in this sense for them. Colossians 1, verses 3 and 4 says, Paul gives thanks to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he prays always for the Christians in Colossae, and he is thankful in part because they are so evidently walking with Christ in holiness. Their faith was heard of by others and noted and recognized by others. And they loved the saints. They were also known for their deep, true, sincere spiritual love for Christians, for fellow Christians. Perhaps it's true that it's easier for us at times to thank God for the blessings of fellow believers and the good things, the many good things that God has blessed us with that we enjoy in life. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 12, Paul is thankful for the generous gift that would be collected from the Corinthians, which would serve and meet the needs of the saints in Jerusalem, that this gift would bring about an abounding thanks, many thanksgivings to God by those who received the generous gift. I'm blessed to be in contact with Ugandan pastors, friends of mine, that I worked with in ministry in Uganda, and I hope to visit Uganda, by the way, as soon as possible. And my Ugandan friends often thank me in this same spirit. The Holy Spirit in them leads them to recognize good and to give thanks to God for the good and to thank God for the believer that the good comes from. I am blessed to be thankful for my friends, for their godly character, their walk with the Lord in holiness, and for their heart and zeal to serve the Lord. Interesting that we find that the Corinthians were actually more well off, they were richer than the Macedonians that Paul also speaks of in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. But the poorer Macedonians, Paul says, gave liberally, and he encourages the richer Corinthians to give like the liberal Macedonians, to give generously. Here again, we see that thanks, like praise to God, is indeed a giving of praise to God. Secondly, we see that Paul gives thanks through the Lord Jesus Christ for God's great work of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ and for the blessing of counting him in the company of God's elect. In Romans 7, verse 25, Paul thanks God through Jesus Christ, our Lord, because God has delivered him from the body of death, that is, his corrupt nature. God has delivered him, saved him from the body of death. And in 1 Timothy 1:12, Paul thanks God, there a reference to Christ our Lord, who is God, who enabled him, who counted him faithful, who put him into the ministry, though before, as an unbeliever, he was disqualified in his unregeneration. Paul also thanks God for Christ's victory and therefore our victory over death in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. 2 Corinthians 9:15. Here God is thanked by Paul for his unspeakably great gift. That is an indescribable gift. That is a great gift that no measure of quality or quantity of words can fully communicate. An unspeakably great gift, an indescribably great gift. And in 2 Corinthians 9:15, we see that this gift that we cannot communicate the full value of in its greatness is Christ Jesus, our Savior, and our precious salvation in him. Though Paul cannot express fully thanksgiving to God for the greatness of this indescribable gift, yet he does thank God for the indescribable gift of knowing Jesus Christ and being saved by Jesus Christ. In Colossians 1, verse 12, Paul is thankful to God for the qualification that he and believers enjoy in that they are qualified to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Let's break this down just a bit to further enjoy and appreciate Paul's meaning. Paul is saying, thankfully, God has made him qualified to share in the infinitely great inheritance that true believers, the holy ones, hagios, the saints, enjoy, and that the saints who enjoy this great privilege and blessing of God exist in God's light, here called the saints in the light. Thirdly, Paul teaches about thanksgiving in his letters. In Romans chapter 14, Paul teaches that thanksgiving is to be given to God for one's food. He also cites in another reference in 1 Corinthians 11, the example of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who when he instituted the Lord's Supper, took bread and gave thanks for it and broke it and gave it to the disciples to eat. So we are to thank God and remember Christ when we take our meals. In Ephesians 5, verse 3, Paul says that believers should give thanks and not be fornicators, unclean, or covetous. Now, that's an interesting contrast again. Fornication, uncleanness, and greed or covetousness is contrasted with the thankfulness that believers are to be engaged in and to offer to God. In this, we see that thanksgiving is really an expression of our hearts. The fornicator and unclean man and greedy man does what he does, commits those sins because he desires that in his heart. But the believer desires and gives thanksgiving to God, the holy God, for the blessings of grace that he has received that have made him holy. The thankful heart is a holy heart. The sinful heart is an unholy heart. In Ephesians 5, verse 20, Paul teaches, "Give thanks for everything to God in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." And so, because Christ in his authority has saved us from our sins, we are able to pray to God, and we are to give him thanks in everything, the seemingly good and the seemingly bad. Surely we all have much to learn in this area of thanking God for everything. In Colossians 3, verse 17, we are to thank God the Father through Jesus in whatever we say or do. Once again, this verse speaks of the thankful heart. The thankful person's heart is set on thankfulness. And so when he speaks, thankfulness is communicated. When he acts, a thankful attitude is communicated. A heart of gratitude expresses itself in our words and in our actions. Colossians 2, verse 7 speaks of Paul's teaching that Christians are to abound in thanksgiving. Simply, we cannot be too thankful. And so we are to abound in thanksgiving, often giving thanks to God, and often thanking others for the grace that we see in them and the benefits of their salvation. Colossians 4, verse 2 says, "Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving." Notice that continuing earnest, vigilant prayer is to be coupled with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is united to continuing prayer. And so it is right for us to give thanks often in our prayers. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, once again, Paul teaches, "In everything, give thanks." Interesting that the apostle's teaching was that he had learned to see good, knowing that God would bring good about through every circumstance that he experienced in life. He says that he learned this in Christ. He began to see, as a Christian believer, that God was bringing him good in every circumstance. What we would normally think of as good and pleasant circumstances, and also in what we would normally think of as trying, difficult, and painful circumstances. Paul had been taught by the Spirit to see that God's intention was to bring good, that indeed he would bring good in every circumstance. And so Paul learned to be thankful in every circumstance. So he teaches that believers are to, in everything, give thanks to God. In 1 Timothy 2, verse 1, Paul teaches, "Give thanks for all types of people," and he references in context there that he is speaking of kings and those men in authority. When Paul writes, as many of our translations use the words, "for all men," he is speaking of all types of men, as you see in context in the chapter in the book. he delineates that prayer should be made for all types of men. A particular note here is that we are to give thanks for those in authority over us and for kings. I trust that the Word of God and this teaching today will be helpful to you, dear friend, as you consider the many benefits, the grace that God has given you. We give thanks to God for who God is. We are to give thanks to God because we have come to know Him. Our blind spiritual eyes have been opened, and we are able to see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And so we thank God for who He is, for what He is like, for what He says, for what He does. Let us do that now in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for your goodness, for your holiness, for your kindness and love, for your character. There is none like you, O Lord. You are all-powerful and all-knowing, and you are present everywhere. And you are powerful, mighty in power. You are gracious. You are loving, faithful. You are true. You cannot lie. You never change. O God, how great you are, and how great is your Son, the blessed, living, powerful God, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. And how great you are, Spirit of Christ, who reveals Christ to our hearts and opens our hearts to the spiritual vision of Christ and God. Glory and praise, thanksgiving to you, mighty and true and living God. Thank you, Lord, that when we call upon your name, Father, we are indeed honoring also your Son and Spirit. Blessed God, thank you. We give you praise. We lift up your mighty and wonderful name, the blessed God who blesses your people. It's in Jesus that we pray. Amen. And so, my friends, until next Lord's Day morning, may the Lord bless you.